I'd like now to welcome Catherine Galan. She is Executive Director of the National Association of Latino Independent Producers, otherwise known as NALIP. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
So there's a lot of Latino independent film producers?
There are all around the country and all around the world, but our organization is 10 years old and has developed this program to bring to Santa Fe that helps support Latino documentary and independent feature makers, as well as that are Latino, that are Native American, and that are growing up here in New Mexico.
And so what are you doing? You are here in Santa Fe, what, this week, this month?
The Latino Producers Academy is a three-week residential program. So we're here from the 3rd until the 21st of August with our 7th Latino Producers Academy.
And what happens at the Academy?
Well, for 11 days, Latino, Native, and New Mexican documentary filmmakers come to live in residence, work with mentors, and advance their specific film projects, their skills, and their careers. And their relationships will help them to complete and then distribute their films. And then, when they leave, we have another 11 days for independent feature producers and directors. They come out, and the producers work through preparing and funding and packaging their projects, while the directors are given SAG casts, professional crews, and mentors so that they can rehearse, shoot, edit, score, and critique scenes from their upcoming features, just like at the Sundance Labs.
It's interesting and I think important that you are putting together Latino and Native filmmakers, because of course those are false boundaries anyway.
Precisely,
in a lot of cases.
Precisely, that's what we came to discover. I mean, while the national organization is of Latino independent producers, that was what we were founded as. There are many indigenous filmmakers, there are many crossover filmmakers, there are many multicultural filmmakers. This program started 7 years ago in Tucson, and we were invited by the governor and the film office to bring it here because of his commitment, along with Lisa and the New Mexico Film Office, to help support the above-the-line creative talent that is naturally here and also to attract other talent to come here.
So the above-the-line creative talent, when we talk about storytelling, that's a gift that people have, but it also needs a lot of mentorship when it comes to actually telling a story that's going to work as a screenplay. It's going to work as a film.
Yeah, film making is a very collaborative process, and it's a very expensive art form, so it can't be done just with a typewriter and, you know, your imagination. We do a screenwriting program, which we held here in May, and we've done that for 7 years as well, and that's a 5-month program that helps just focus on the script so that those are advanced and ready for packaging and development. What we focus on here during the Academy is the producer's role, who we see as the creative leader of either a documentary or feature, the person who helps to originate the idea, find the material, find the way to tell that story, whether it's commissioning a writer or being the writer themselves, choosing a director, finding the talent and the money and the other teammates that will help to get that film up off the ground and into theaters or festivals.
Well, that's part of the whole problem, the big problem. I mean, you can be absolutely brilliant in every way and finish a film and still have trouble with distribution.
Well, that's the one of the foreground issues right now. However, in the same way that technology has helped to equalize the playing field for the filmmaker, when you can now shoot on equipment that you can buy, when you can do so much in editing and in sound effects with consumer equipment, right?
Yeah.
The things that you own in your home with some skill. Distribution is also going to be heading in that direction. And so both in the documentary program and the narrative program, we focus a lot on the multi-platform opportunities and technologies for content, for distribution, for marketing, and particularly in the case of the documentary makers, on advancing their social change agendas, because the documentary makers here are not just making really cool films, but they are about issues of great concern to our community and to the culture at large, we believe. And so the new technologies can help to distribute and market and expand the message and the issues in ways that they couldn't even touch a couple of years ago, now that we have these platforms that permit you to watch a documentary on your phone or to communicate with a network through Facebook and let them know that the film is going to be video on demand, or many of the other ways that now filmmakers are beginning at least to get out the message. And the next step, of course, is to make money at doing it. But I think that that's not far behind.
Yeah, I mean, I think because Netflix has this, what's it called?
Instant, right, on a Roku instant watch or instant view.
Yeah, that kind of greases the path for all sorts of other instant web-based.
Yeah, there are a number of them that have started and are coming through on that model. The key is that it be a platform that permits revenue to come back to the filmmaker.
Right, exactly. What are some of the social change agendas and some of the stories that people are telling?
Well, we have a project that is looking at sort of the Puerto Rican Malcolm X. And
who's that?
His name is Pedro Albizu Campos. And this particular documentary looks at Puerto Rican identity and culture, but also the continued struggle for independence throughout Latin America, not just in Puerto Rico, but also for that particular leader and country. We have a documentary about the third most polluted city on the planet, which is in Dominican Republic, called Aina, City of Poison. There's Ingratas, which is looking at the injustice of the group of women that are maids in Mexico and what their employers and they look at and how that impacts their both their immigration but also their life there. There's
Ingratas, that means the ungrateful ladies.
And that's what we are of them. I mean, this is the problem. Ungrateful for all of that, what they do.
Right.
One of the filmmakers is telling the story of Jessica Gonzalez, who is a Native American and Latina woman living in Colorado, whose husband stole their three daughters. And she eventually had to sue the United States. There's a lawsuit called Jessica Gonzalez versus the USA that's gone all the way to the Supreme Court about what the police did and didn't do in support of her efforts to stop the abduction and have her daughters return to her.
Were there issues of racism because she was Latina and the husband?
That was part of the problem. And, you know, at the end of the day, her children were killed. They were found dead. So there was a lot of mismanagement.
Do we get to these are movies that are in workshop now, or do we get to see them?
These are the movies in workshop that will soon be seen, we hope, on public television, in festivals, at the Cinematheque, and these are the projects that are going to be pitched at the Cinematheque with pieces of them shown, their trailers or stills from the films, at the event that the CCA is hosting for the public next Wednesday.
I want to go see them all now. I mean, when I think about the garbage that I sometimes watch at friends' house or, you know, you go to the movies and see, I mean, this is the real thing.
They're fascinating stories, the groups of films that we have here this year, the projects that they're working on. And next week when the narrative filmmakers come with their 10 projects, they are amazing and entertaining and sophisticated and captivating and have every marker that they can be successful independent films with some help.
So how have you seen, I mean, NALIP has been, the National Association of Latino Independent Producers, for those of you who are just tuning in, has been around for, what did you say?
10 years.
10 years.
Just celebrated our 10th birthday.
How have you seen the evolution of Latino film in that time?
Well, there's definitely been progress. At the time that we were founded, there were no television shows that had lasted more than 3 or 4 episodes that were focused on or made by Latinos. There was no George Lopez show. There was no American Family. There was no Betty, Ugly Betty. So that has we see progress there. We also see many more Latino characters in television and in films that are not maids and gangbangers, which is really what they were in 1999. It's really amazing. When the census came out, the 2000 census that indicated the great growth of the Latino population in the United States, and we're now 15-16% nationally and much more in certain states like New Mexico, California, and New York, it woke up the media industry that they needed both to cultivate that segment of the population as audience and as consumers, which is a very powerful economic block.
Yeah, they see dollar signs.
Yeah, of course, which is a leader in most industries, but certainly in media. But also, they needed to be more inclusive. That said, there's still a very small number of films that are made by Latinos that are invited to the Sundance Film Festival or the New Mexico Film Festival or Santa Fe Film Festival or New York Film Festival. There are very few documentaries that you see on television, but there are more. One of them, Don't Let Me Drown, which premiered at Sundance last January, will be having its regional premiere at the end of our program here, which is also an event open to the public for the CCA, at the CCA next Tuesday.
What film is that?
August 8th. It's called Don't Let Me Drown by Cruz Angeles. It's his first feature film. It's set in New York, and it premiered and won prizes in Sundance this past January. That's a wonderful film and truly an independent film. And the idea of holding the screening in partnership with the CCA is to introduce the New Mexico and Santa Fe community to some great Latino filmmaking storytelling, actors, directors. The director will be there, and he'll be talking about it. So we hope that your audience will come.
Yeah, so that's Tuesday night, August 18th, at the
Center for Contemporary Arts here
in Santa Fe. It's a week from this coming Tuesday. It's Tuesday the 18th of August. I think it's extremely important because New Mexico is always talking about how it wants to have and has this burgeoning film industry and so on. And to focus in this way is really part of our own heritage extending beyond the New Mexico Hispanic story into the wider world.
Absolutely. And then next week, on Wednesday, the 12th, the invitation is open to your audience to come and hear the pitches and see parts of the films that the documentary filmmakers have been working on, a number of whom are based here in New Mexico. There's a project called Letter from Cloud Craft by two filmmakers from Abiquiu who will be talking about their project about a group of letters that a granddaughter received from her grandfather who was working at White Sands, which is fascinating. So there are a number of projects that are also about New Mexico, as well as you say, the broader Latino culture and community.
It's wonderful to see works in progress, so that's an opportunity for people to do so, whether or not they are themselves filmmakers, but to see these films in progress. Well, we're just about out of time. Catherine Galan is executive director of the National Association of Latino Independent Producers. They are on the web at nalip.org. And if you want more information, you can also call the CCA here in Santa Fe at 505-982-1338. And you can also find them at ccasantafe.org. Catherine, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned to KSFR.